So, all right, just to begin, I'm going to talk a little bit about stewardship again tonight, and every year I try to bring at least one message on the stewardship of time. Time. God gives us all the same amount of time. And some people have accomplished a lot in their life with their time. Others have accomplished nothing. But we're all given the same amount. And we want to be good stewards of time. Basically, stewardship comes down to the old three-fold alliteration somebody made up: time, treasures, and talents. Just being a good steward of the time God gives you, being a good steward of the treasures that God enables you to have, be a good steward of your talents, your gifts, and whether they're musical or you're a servant of the church or you're gifted to help others or preach or teach or being a caring. There's seven ministry gifts mentioned in Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 6. And you can find out what yours is. We all have at least one. Some have two or three, and we should all try to learn how to use all seven if we can, even though we never may be experts at all seven. But you have some kind of a gift or a talent, and you need to be a good steward of that. And use it, and use it for the Lord. So we want to look at one of those three, and that's called time tonight. And I want to just speak about priorities of the present, what our priorities should be every present day. And I was reminded of this verse here to begin with, Proverbs 27:1, which tells us, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Boast not thyself of tomorrow. We only have today. And there's something that we need to do for God today. And we need to have our focus on those things which are eternal. And too often that is not our focus. Jesus said in John 9 and verse 4, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Now, I thought about these two verses in the light of our dear sister Sharon Rice, and some of you didn't know her. I understand that. She left this church 10 years ago to help with the church plant over in Evans, and they've been such faithful members over there ever since. Some of you do remember her. What a blessing she was. What a dear Christian woman. I was so happy that there was such a tribute to her life Friday at the funeral. And I've always said this, that you ought to live your life in such a way that when you die, you have a big funeral. And by the way, have a funeral. And man, I just like that when they go all out for these funerals, you know, and pallbearers, and you go to the cemetery and you have a graveside service and all that kind of stuff. It's just something honorable, something royal about that treatment of the believer in Christ. But one of the thoughts that I thought about when she passed away is that's it. She has no more opportunity to do anything for Christ in this life. It's over. It is absolutely over for her. She's gone to her reward. Amen. And that's how it's going to be for us. The night cometh when no man can work. I mean, it might be by death. It might be by disability. It might just be by old age. I see people my age and older slowing down. They just can't possibly go at the same, energy. The glory of the young man is his strength, the Bible says. That's not the glory of the old man. It's the glory of the young man is his strength. And that's why we are told to remember now our Creator in the days of our youth, where we can love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. Strength. And I am so glad at this point in my life I gave my life to Christ when I was 21 years old. And I've never taken it back, and I used the best years. I used the strongest years. I mean, the years I had the most physical strength. And the schedule I used to keep back then, I remember as 5 years as a farmer and then being a bus worker and being a youth leader and taking the teens out soul winning and going to camp with them for 10 years. I went to camp with them in the summer times, and I remember when I had the strength to do those things. And I was glad that at that time, that season in my life, which you only get once, I used that strength for Christ. I have no regrets about that. But I'm coming to the point where I'm understanding that that strength is I don't have that anymore. I don't have the physical strength that I once had. And I want to encourage you to be a good steward of your time. Because death may be what Christ was describing here, the day cometh when no man can work. Maybe disability, maybe just old age. And you just can't do what you want to do for the Lord. It could be socialism. They are not going to permit us to operate. That is obvious if you've got your eyes on the world. They're not going to. Socialism is atheism. It's what it is. Vladimir Lenin said the goal of socialism is communism. And that's not a church planting atmosphere. And they're coming to a town near you. And they're all over this election. Next Tuesday, all over these towns, there's socialists who are trying to take over local governments. And we just see across the border that for the last 22 months, Canadian pastors and churches have had their hands tied. They've been not able to work. They're not permitted to speak against homosexuality, as the Bible teaches, because that's considered a hate crime up there. Pastors have been put in prison in Canada for addressing that subject. Pastors have been put in prison recently, Pastor Henry Hildebrandt and Pastor Tobias Tyson, not Baptist, but they're soldiers. Not sure where the Baptists are. Or the other denominations, and I think the reason they're in jail is because the other churches have done nothing. They've not taken a stand. And they've been put in prison. Pastor Tobias last week was taken away in handcuffs, as I mentioned this morning, because he held a gathering of five people outside. They have barricaded his church, so they can't get in. So the day may be coming when we won't be able to work, or at least work like we can now. We may be greatly limited in what we can do. And I would encourage you then, in the light of the stewardship of our time tonight, that we consider this. Now, I hope not. I hope there's enough of a remnant in America, and enough prayer in America, and enough soldiers and revolutionaries who will stand up against socialism and communism and Marxism and stand up for our Constitution. We should thank the Lord for our Constitution the way it's written. And we believe, don't get me wrong, not in the same way as the Bible, but we believe our Constitution was divinely written by men who were led by the Scriptures and men who followed Isaiah 33 and verse 22 and set up a government which had a judicial branch, an executive branch, and a legislative branch. That was their theme verse for that. And I believe they, by following the Bible, gave us the greatest country the world's ever known. And we've had the privilege to live in it, at least until the tail end of it here. And I still hope there'll be great days ahead for us. So whatever this means, let's just remember it's the words of our Lord. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And so there's coming a day when death or disability or whatever, you're just going to not be able to work anymore. Like Sharon, it's over. And she's gone to her reward, and thank God she did what she did when she could. And all the times I used to see her cleaning the church over there and singing and praying and cooking and just serving in so many ways. And everywhere she went, she just was a testimony for Jesus Christ and a witness. And we praise the Lord for her. But it's all going to end maybe quite abruptly for you and I too. That our chance to serve Christ will be over, maybe in an instant. And so we make decisions every day, whether we will live with eternity's values in view or do temporary things that mean nothing in the long run. And we are struggling with this today in the body of Christ. We've seen many a young person fall away because they've become addicted to video games and addicted to fantasy football and addicted to television and their cell phones, and they're very, very distracted. Evil communications corrupt good manners, and they're no longer walking with us. They have been taken out by distractions. And we need to pray. We need to fast for them. They get a lot of frustrated mothers who don't know how to pull their kids back out of this video addiction. It's one of the most powerful addictions we have in our society today. And people can't break the addiction to their cell phones. And there's just, I feel for this generation. We never had these distractions growing up. When I was growing up, we worked on the farm. We worked hard. We worked very early in the morning, got changed, went to school, came back home, worked very late at night. We did that every day until we finally fell exhausted into our beds. Day after day after day, that's what we did. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18 says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." There's things that are eternal. And these are the things we must spend our time on. And we used to sing a chorus here, and I don't remember where it was, but it's "With eternity's values in view, Lord. Let me live each day with eternity's values in view." And so I want to talk about that, and I want to just talk about priorities then, and three priorities in the stewardship of our time. Number one is the priority of salvation. I don't know who might need this. Maybe somebody watching, maybe somebody here tonight. Just because you attend this church does not mean you're saved. This church cannot save your soul. Good works cannot save your soul. But it tells us in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, "For he saith, I have heard thee in an accepted time, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee." That, praise the Lord for that. There's a day of salvation. And this word "secured" means helped. In other words, when the day of salvation comes, God is there to help us. We are saved by His grace. We are born again by the power of the Word of God and the work of the Holy Ghost. Then he finishes the verse by saying, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Now is the accepted time. I want to encourage you not to plan to be saved someday, but rather be saved today, whoever you are. Because eternity, once we draw our last breath, it's either heaven or it's hell for all of eternity. And there's no matter what other religions or cults have taught you, there is no second chance after we die. That matter is settled before we take our last breath. And Jesus said, you must be born again. There is a day of salvation. Salvation is not a process that we work into. It's not a season. It's not after a long course of trying where God says, you finally did enough to save yourself. No, it's a day. It's a day in your life. Now, you might not remember the exact date, but if you're really saved, you probably remember where you were and when it happened. Because it's kind of hard to meet Almighty God and forget about that if you really ever did. If you've met Jesus Christ, you probably remember that day in your life. I remember it. I don't remember the exact Sunday. I know it was in November of 1969. Pick a Sunday, but I remember walking in the church that day. Little church in West Falls, the West Falls Bible Church. I remember exactly where I sat. It was two rows in from the back, three seats over, because they had wooden theater seats from the old Churchill Tabernacle down in Buffalo. They yanked them out of there when they put new seats in there, and they screwed them into the floor at the West Falls Bible Church, and they're still there to this day. I can go and sit in the seat where I was saved today. I know where I was. And I know what the pastor preached on. And I remember the verse. I remember one verse that day. That's all. John 10:9. Where Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Remember the pastor, Pastor Bob Ashbach. He's in heaven. I thanked him many times. Before he died, I thanked him many times for being faithful to the text and preaching the word and preaching the gospel. And I remember at the end, he didn't know me. I never knew him. But it felt like he was speaking right to me. And he did me the greatest favor anybody ever did me in my life. And that's why you hear me do it so often. He said, if you'd like to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, pray this prayer in your heart to God. And he led me word by word because I didn't know. I said, I want that. I don't know how to get it. And he told me exactly how to get it. He made it as simple as he possibly could. And the Bible says if this is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Amen. And if we know that he hears us, we know that he heareth us, we know that we have the petitions we've desired of him. Well, it's God's will that everyone be saved. So if we ask anything according to his will, including saying, Lord, save me, we know we have the petitions that we have desired of him. And I am so grateful for that day. I didn't walk forward, although he was having an invitation. I didn't walk forward. I walked out. But I remember I walked out with a load of sin. I mean, it literally, physically felt like it was off my shoulders. Now, you don't have to have that experience. That's not part of salvation. But that's just what happened to me. I just said, wow, something just happened in there. And later on, my brother George, through discipleship, explained eternal security to me. And I realized, hey, I am saved. I remember that day I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I trusted in him and quit trusting in myself. So tonight, have you ever settled that matter? Have you ever settled it? Do you have a day of salvation? Can you remember when you were born again? Now, again, you know, sometimes people say, yeah, I was at a vacation Bible school and I don't remember who did it. That's okay. That's a testimony. That's a testimony. Amen. But boy, I'll tell you, it says they overcame the devil by the word, the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. That's how you get victory over the devil. By the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, and by the word of your testimony. Don't make up a testimony just so you can answer people's questions. When did you get saved? Don't make one up. If you don't know, say, be honest for your soul's sake. Make that your first priority tonight of your time and say, you know, I don't know. I don't know. And I need to know. The Apostle Paul had his testimony. He talked about it this way. He said, for the which cause I also suffer these things. In 2 Timothy 1:12. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He was persuaded. I know whom I have believed. I know. Do you have a day of salvation? That needs to be a priority. Number one, the priority of salvation. And what a world we live in where some people spend 2 years in college, 4 years in college, some 5 years in college, master's degree, some 8 or 9 years in college to prepare for a career that'll last them 30 years, but won't spend 5 minutes to hear the gospel that will last them for all of eternity. And it's all over the world. It's all over this country. There's such short-sighted priority with people's time in this world that it's all about college. It's all about setting myself up for a career for 30 years in retirement. And those people won't give you 5 minutes of their time to talk about eternity. Not 5 minutes. But that's a priority. So I don't know who happens to be watching or who's here tonight. I want to encourage you to be saved today. Today. Don't say, well, when I get home. You might not get home. Leon Foote talked about that girl in the youth rally one time. He never got over it either. He never got over it. He talked about that girl at the youth rally. And he went up to her and said, why don't you get saved? Why don't you get saved right now? And she said, no, I'm going to think about it. And she says, I got some things to do in life. And just a few miles down the road, she wrecked her car and she was killed in a horrific car wreck. Right after the youth rally. I'm not saying that's going to happen to you. But can you give me one good reason why you shouldn't be saved tonight? There is no good reason. There isn't. A human being can't come up with one good reason why they shouldn't be saved tonight. For those that are ever watching this recording someday and you're listening, there's not a good reason. You can't find a good reason. Well, you shouldn't get saved right now. Right now, Lord Jesus, save me. Believe in Him with all of your heart. The priority of salvation. Number two, the priority of seeking souls. That needs to be a priority in our time that is eternal. Seeking souls. Seeking others who we can get saved. And we can get away from this very easily. I know I can. Just by the busyness and the distraction of the ministry. I was over at the funeral. Before I went to the funeral, I was getting dressed up, all dolled up. But I remember actually saying to myself, should I take some tracks with me or not? A dumb question. Should I take some tracks with me or not? And so I grabbed my tracks and put them in my pocket and I have this carrier that I put tracks in so they stay clean and you know, don't get all bent up and old and everything, and I can take them out and give away. Don't give away dirty tracks, by the way. We live in a world where everything is first-class printing and everything is image nowadays. So give out nice, clean tracks when you give out tracks. Anyways. So I leave the funeral service and I go over to the, Pastor Seth was there and a couple of us went over to the cemetery. I went early. I went over before the hearse and before the train because I thought, man, these are a lot of people. I got to go see if we got room to park and what can we do and blah, blah, blah and get all these cars in here. So I went there early and there was a guy sitting in the truck. And he's the guy that we used to call him grave diggers back. And I suppose that's offensive now. You know, anything you say is offensive now. But he's with the vault company. So he put the vault in. He's just waiting for it all over so he can put the top on and fill it in and go home. That's what he does for a living. And I'm looking at him. I say, well, there's a guy. I can go talk to him. And so I went over there and talked to him. His name's Joe. And then when he told me he was from Pembroke, I thought, man, I am never going to see this guy again. Or probably never see him again. So I got a track out and gave it to him. And then the train came. Right then the train came. Here comes the hearse and everything. I said, Joe, you got to read this. I said, it's something I wrote. It's a little Bible study about God. I'll tell you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven someday. You know, you've seen this all your life. You've been putting vaults in and so on. Seen this all your life. And I said, it's just something. He said, thank you. He says, he's going to take and read it. Well, we need to try to keep our eyes open for souls. And I don't know about you, but there's times where I can go through life like this, you know, like a horse with just tunnel vision. Like, okay, I know there's people all around, but I don't want to look at them. God might say, hey, go talk to that person. And I got important things to do. And I'm serious. I have that fault sometimes. But when we look at Jesus, whether we see him with a poor fallen woman at the well, or maybe the richest convert he ever led to Christ, Zacchaeus, or Nicodemus, who came to him by night, who was extremely educated, or a woman who was caught in the act of adultery. Everywhere Jesus went, he was looking for a soul that he could minister to, that he could lift up, that he could bring to faith in him. And then when we see Paul and his conversion, and when he gets his feet under him, and he had some troubled times there at the beginning, but he gets his feet under everywhere he goes. He goes to Philippi, and there's a bunch of ladies there having a prayer meeting, and he sits down with them and starts explaining the gospel to them. And Lydia gets saved, and then a damsel possessed of a demon gets saved, and then a jailer who beats the daylights out of him and sticks him in prison, and then an earthquake comes and opens the prison, and that jailer gets saved, and the jailer's family gets saved, and you just look at Paul's life, and he was forever seeking souls. Jesus was forever seeking souls, and those are the two greatest patterns God has given to us in the Bible, is the Lord Jesus Christ, and then our human pattern, Paul. God said he's going to be a pattern to everybody who hereafter should believe. And so it says he continued witnessing both to great and small. He said, even unto this day. And what a pattern he is that I've failed to live up to. But I'm trying to encourage you to be a seeker of souls. Be a seeker of souls. That is eternal. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher of the 1800s in London, just reached thousands and thousands of people. It was amazing. Just get a Spurgeon Bible, read the first three pages of the history of his life. And Spurgeon said this. He said, I would rather lead one soul to Christ than to understand all the mysteries of the Bible. Some people study the Bible all their life, and they learn things God doesn't know. And they write them in their commentaries, and then God has to straighten them out by Bible readers, saying that's not right. And boy, there's people, like Solomon said, there's no end of making books. There's people writing all kinds of books that maybe would be better served if they. And we need some good books, but if they would try to win a soul to Christ. What a thought by Spurgeon. I'd rather win one soul to Christ than to understand all the mysteries of the Bible. That's eternal. And those people that you lead to Christ are going to be in heaven forever and ever and ever. Learn how to be a soul winner. And by the way, don't wait for a church to start a soul winning program. You'll wait a long time. I've been in some churches. And I can remember when my wife and I were dating, and we were going to a church, and I said to her, let's just start something. And we convinced them to buy a bus. And my wife and I went out, and we went out visiting on Saturday. We weren't even married. We didn't have a chaperone or nothing. We just got in our car. And we were going out and getting kids and some adults that would come on the bus and everything. That's how we started. That's how we started before we got married. Now, I wouldn't suggest that. I think you should have a chaperone before you get married, but God used us, and a lot of times you don't need a church visitation program. You already have a commission from your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to share the gospel with people. Now, if you want to, I mean, I'm all for it. If you want to get partner up with somebody and go out and just keep going and going and going, or this guy, This Sam Hale, he just impressed me. He moved up here from Maryland, and his wife, you know, and she was in intelligence in the military. They got four kids, wonderful kids. And so he's going out door to door through Gwanda yesterday. And I said, who'd you go with? He said, no one. Just went by myself. I said, wow, that I don't know about you, that impressed me. Trust me, he says, you knocked on all these doors on one street and all on the other side. And I said, wow, it's just guy's day off. He worked till 9 o'clock every night at Schwann's. You know Schwann's, right? Probably run into the back end of their truck a few times. The priority of sending soul winners. Finally, I want to close with this. The priority of salvation. The priority of seeking souls. That's something we can do every day. And then the priority of sending soul winners is something that we, of course, emphasize every October here when we think of the Great Commission and how it's not possible for you and I to go into all the world and preach the gospel, but it's possible to help send as many people as possible. And as I've told this church for all these years, I don't talk about money. The rest of the year, you won't hear me hardly mention money at all. But October, I'll get on my knees and I'll beg. I'll beg you to get involved in giving to help us send these missionaries into all the world. I'll beg for them. Faith Promise Missions giving does not go into this church. It goes into a huge pot that is then distributed to almost 150 missionaries around the world right now, a lot of who are having a hard time. They need our encouragement. They need us to hold the rope for them. This is a bizarre world we're living in. Like that verse in Isaiah this morning, everything's backward. Everything is backward. And there's other missionaries that are coming through, and I think we have three more this year coming through yet before the year's over. We try to get missionaries to come through here all the time, usually one a month almost, to keep it fresh, that this is main things. This is main things. And we try to send soul winners to other countries and nations and people and tribes and dialects so they'll have a chance to get saved like we did. Like we did. And so I want to encourage you to do eternal things. Do eternal things with your life. Number one, the priority of salvation. Are you sure you're saved? Are you sure you're saved? Don't make up a testimony. Don't make it up. Well, my mother told me, did you meet Christ? Did you trust in Him as your Savior? Don't make up a testimony. Don't make up. Make sure you know Christ as your Savior. Be a seeker of souls. You never know who you might cross paths with. Even before this night is over. Tomorrow, there may be somebody. And you can give them a good word, or maybe they'd even take the time to listen to you share the gospel. You can give them a gospel track at a minimum. And who knows, Saturday, you know, if you live in Evans, if they're having Saturday, you know, we've had 60, 70, 80 kids come by our house. And in certain years when it was good weather and stuff, not always, But be a seeker of souls. Be a seeker of souls. And then the priority of sending soul winners. Help us, please. Maybe just pray. You got like the bulletin says. You got to pray, and you've got to ask the Lord, God, what can I trust you for? See, you're not. This is you and God going forward by faith in the financial realm. Trusting God to give you so much a week that you can give to missions, and then God will give you more and God will give you more. And it really is an amazing way to increase your faith as you see God bless you or bless your business or bless your job or promotion or however He does it. We've had so many stories over the years of people saying, boy, God did this for me, and God did this for me, and God did this for me, and I can't believe what happened. And as Pastor Chris mentioned this morning about his testimony, starting by giving a nickel a week, and God blessed him as a 12-year-old boy who could hardly speak any English at the time, and he increased it the next year, and the next year, and the next year, and the next year, and the next year. And now he's to where he gives faith promise to this church and the one in the Philippines. And God has just blessed his family, his wife, his kids. And the priority of sending soul winners, it's got to be an eternal priority that we have. And if you're not give into faith promise, then maybe you can look at your life and say, boy, do I really need to go to Tim Hortons every day? Do I need to go to Starbucks every day? Do I need to go to Spot Coffee every day? Do you know how much that costs? How much that costs? Do you think there may be a missionary that could be helped by that? And maybe make your own coffee or something like that? How precious are these priorities to our congregation? Boy, we need to, you know, step it up. I remember 2020, I said, man, this is going to be the greatest year ever for soul winning and visitation and everything, and then nothing because of the virus. And this year we're getting back on our feet. Things are picking up. More people are getting baptized. You know how many we baptized last year? One. We baptized one person last year, and a lot more. Things are picking up, and we have an open door still. And I hope next year is going to be great, but we got two more months of this year. We got all kinds of opportunities this year with Thanksgiving and Christmas and cantata and just regular day-by-day living. And let's keep our eyes wide open. And I think we'll sing, we won't sing that song. Let's sing the prayer in 844. As we find our hymn books today, this is a great song. It's a great prayer. Don't get too familiar with it. Think about the words as we close the service tonight. And of course, you can come to the altar and pray and maybe ask God to revive you or stir you up for souls again. Pray for me. Pray for our church that we can win souls. We got a lot of parking spots to fill up. We got a lot of chairs to fill up here. And why not? God's still great. I know it seems harder, but God's still just as great as ever. And let's see. We still got a couple months this year. Let's see what happens yet this year. As we yield ourselves to the Lord and say, God, I want to do eternal things. If you're here and you're not saved, man, I don't know what else I can say tonight. I don't know what else I can say. But if you'll come, we'll have someone talk to you and show you how you can know for sure you're saved as we stand together. 844. 844. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I faithfully do my part to win that soul for thee. Lord, there are souls that I should win, lost souls for whom you died. And may I never draw back or sin with fear or foolish pride. Lord, may I love as you have loved the souls of those I know. And grant me power from heaven above, thy love for them to show. As the piano plays and our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Is there one here tonight that would say, you know, I'd like to know for sure that I'm going to heaven someday, that I'm saved, that I have eternal life. I want to know this for sure. Okay. Would you do me a favor? Would you just walk back to that back room? I'm going to have Brother Mike O'Mara take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven someday. So go right back to room number 12 there. Amen. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else who would say, Pastor, I come to this church all the time, but a few of the things you said to me kind of maybe rattled my soul a little bit tonight. And I'm not sure if there's been a day of salvation in my life, but I'd like to know. I'd like to know that for sure. I'm not trying to manipulate you or not. I'm just trying to get you to, as Paul said to the Corinthians, examine yourselves to see whether you be in the faith. Is there anybody? Would you raise your hand? You sure now? You want? Okay, okay. All right, then Louise, I'm going to have you take your Bible, and you're going to go right there and maybe into that back room there, as long as nobody interrupts you. That's good. It's good to be sure. You know, it took me 11 years to get the assurance of my salvation. You know why? Because I wasn't in the Bible. I was just believing and going on my emotions, and then I'd sin, and I thought, boy, I can't be saved, I just sinned. So sometimes people just need assurance, but whatever. Is there anybody else? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Is there anybody else? I need help tonight. I need help tonight, Pastor. Pray for me, or can I talk to somebody? Would you raise your hand? I'd like some help tonight about this matter of salvation. Okay, Julio? All right. Brother Chris, you're going to take your Bible, talk a little bit more with Julio there. All right. You can find our room right over here, probably underneath your office. That's all right. It's all right. Better to be sure. Better to be sure. Anybody else? I could use some help tonight. Let's be praying for these. Sometimes it's salvation, sometimes it's assurance. I think I prayed the sinner's prayer about 19 times in my life. But when I got assurance by the Holy Ghost, I realized the first time was good enough. Jesus saved me when I asked Him to. Anybody else? I'd like some help tonight. I'd like some help tonight for someone to talk with me. Let's sing the song one more time through, and then we'll close in prayer. Let's pray for those being spoken to this evening. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart, and love that soul through me. And may I faithfully do my part to win that soul for Thee. Lord, there are souls that I should win, lost souls for whom You died. And may I never draw back or sin with fear or foolish pride. Lord, may I love as You have loved the souls of those I know. And grant me power from heaven above Thy love for them to show. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Anyone, our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, that would like prayer. So I pray for myself. I'd like to pray for you too, that God would give us a greater burden for souls, a greater burden for the lost. Maybe we used to have that, but it's kind of diminished. That happens. Sometimes we grow cold. Sometimes we get lukewarm. That happens. Pastor, include me in your prayer that God would light a fire in my heart for lost souls. No one's looking around, but could you raise your hand? Okay, God bless you. Amen. So many. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for this evening, and I pray personally that for a greater fire in my heart for the lost. Lord, may we have great faith, not only to believe in heaven and the bliss of heaven, the rewards and the glory of being with Christ, but what Paul called the terror of hell and those who are going there so often without warning. Lord, may we so die to self, we don't care what people think about us, even if they think we're nuts. Because someday that seed might be watered and You'd give the increase. Oh God, we pray for those that have raised their hands, and maybe others that meant to, but Lord, we just pray for a whole church full of people. Not just so we can fill the parking lot spaces and the empty chairs, but because You told us, whether anyone comes, to try to get the gospel out. Oh Lord, I pray personally and for us to be filled with Your Holy Spirit. Because whenever people were filled with the Spirit, they didn't sing. They went soul winning. And Lord, help us to be a Spirit-filled church. God, stir us up. May we be on fire for Thee. We pray for those counseling right now. That You'd give wisdom to Mike and Louise and Pastor Chris to say the right words, whether these people need salvation, Lord, or assurance. You know. You know what they need. And we want to ask You, Lord, that that need would be met in their soul tonight. Bless our fellowship. this very busy week. Pray for the grace we need. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming tonight. You are dismissed. Have some fellowship with each other. Let me know if I can help you.